What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you today?
Doing all right. We're doing all right.
That's good. All right is good. I'll take all right.
Right. Like, we're vibing today.
Okay, good.
But do I know where the next 5 hours are going to look like?
No idea.
We got the roadmap in front of us, but we'll see.
I mean, there's been a lot of times, you know, you think you're vibing and then you show up and then 5 hours later, you're like, I guess we didn't vibe that hard. And other times you're like, I don't know that we're vibing today. And then it's like, oh, we vibed so hard.
So I'm vibing with myself. We'll see if we vibe together.
Yeah. I mean, I'm vibing by myself too. And So together it should be, that should be all right.
It's like the GIF of Jay-Z just kind of bopping to music. I think that's where we are individually. Can we vibe together?
Okay. Let's try.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. They're off to the greatest start now.
No, we totally. The vibes just killed the show.
It just did. And talking about the vibes, The vibes derailed the vibes.
Can I make an observation?
Yes, please do.
It seems to me that Dylan Gabriel is a bigger story right now nationally concerning the Cleveland Browns than Joe Flacco, who is the actual starter. And I'm stymied just a little bit by that fact.
Okay, do I want you to present the evidence first, or do you just want to discuss it and then you can present the evidence?
The only talk about the Cleveland Browns I've heard in the last 24 hours has been, nationally, is about Dylan Gabriel. Now, in fairness, we're a little guilty of this because we talked some Dylan yesterday and very little Joe Flacco. But Exhibit A, I think is how they do in the legal system. I opened up the file for the show today, and it was like four national cuts of, it was Frank Schwab, it was Charles Robinson, the, you know, national heavy hitters talking about Dylan Gabriel and their confidence, the Browns' confidence in Dylan Gabriel, instead of like, hey, the Browns think they're going to surprise you with this Joe Flacco guy.
Well, so I think, you know, Joe being in the league for as many years as he has been kind of derails that, but I'd make the argument, people talk about Aaron Rodgers and what he's going to do in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. People are think about it. Within Pittsburgh and that conversation, now Rodgers brings a lot to the table anyway. He had a better career than Joe Flacco did, but people are discussing, like, what's that offense going to look like? Is he going to do... Is Tomlin and Arthur Smith going to do to him what he did to Russell Wilson last year, or is he going to let him go ahead and have more of an offense? With Joe, it just isn't the convo.
I just think it's interesting that we've gone from, and when I say we, I'm talking about the royal we of the media, have gone from Shador Sanders, who, you know, at one point fourth stringer, now third string quarterback, to a backup who, I mean, most of the people now talking about the Browns' confidence in Dylan Gabriel are the people that were also like, hey, he wasn't supposed to be a third-round pick.
Yeah, I think there is a shock factor attached to Dylan. I think he looked much better than people expected. And I think I do think he falls into that bucket, as Sean Salisbury puts it, like just the gamer, the guy that maybe just stinks at practice but then is really good. But we didn't find anybody that was saying that Dylan Gabriel was going to be what we saw in those preseason games. So there's a shock element here.
Well, and here's the other thing. Those same people were not saying this a week ago after his first preseason game where he turned the ball over twice.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think that's where it just feels a little herky-jerky to me. And I do think, like, I've noticed a groundswell of... I don't want to say groundswell. Comparative to the first 3 months we talked about Dylan Gabriel, I've noticed a groundswell of fans that have presented him as the great hope. I'm like, okay. I mean, I feel like if you're nonplussed about Shador, totally get it. You should probably be nonplussed about Dylan Gabriel. Like, they're mid-round picks, and I don't really distinguish one. I feel better about one's physical talent versus the other. But in terms of, like, hey, we got our future here. No, that's what this season's kind of to figure out. I'm excited to find that out, but I understand it might not be finding out what we want to find out.
Let's put it this way, and this is coming from someone that owns a Shador Sanders jersey, but if I saw someone wearing a Dylan Gabriel Browns jersey right now, I'm still like, wait, you spend money on that? You thought that was the investment that you wanted to make?
I do like the symmetry of the judgment in that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, it depends, too. If I went up and was like, hey, so you spent money on that? And they're like, oh, no, we bought it off DHgate. Okay. We bought it off Chinese eBay. I'd be like, okay, not that much, not that expensive
that's
of a
better,
purchase.
But if you've got like the $350, because you know there's like
the
levels
real,
to it.
The real stitched out, the real authentic, like the really nice. I'd be like, well, I just don't know that many people that are really going that hard in the paint for Dylan Gabriel to that degree. But he definitely does seem like he's got way more fans behind him than what he did, let's say, 4 or 5 days ago.
Are the Browns behind this? That sounds calculating. Teams are calculating, but that sounds like almost nefarious. Meaning, like, are the Browns doing the PR push of, hey, just so you guys know, the season, this is really about these young guys. We're going to get there eventually, and we placed our hope and trust in Dylan Gabriel.
Well, so if that was the case, they wouldn't be posting like what I saw earlier today, where it was Joe Flacco and David Njoku basically doing the stepbrothers, did we just become best friends?
Oh, see, that's social media versus their actual PR team. I'm thinking, like, because I do think, like, and by the way, I think it has more to do with Shador than it does Dylan.
Because their social media team was definitely, they spent all day pushing Joe Flacco and David Njoku and the clips that were from the preseason games, the behind the scenes clips, and trying to make that buddy-buddy relationship a thing.
I do not remember their social media team pushing out the video of Dylan missing two throws yesterday. I don't remember that. Right, when they're thrown into the hoop. I don't remember them pushing
that
out.
No, that wasn't their social media team.
Yeah, that wasn't their social media team.
That was our social media team. We did.
Oh, that's a different.
The fan did that.
That's a different. Oh. I wonder why they
didn't.
Hey,
Shador did hit it, though, did he not?
He did. He hit it real good. No, I mean, I think it would make sense that this organization is pushing hope in light of a lot of people really not believing they're to do anything this year. And that hope is, hey, it's not Shador, it's Dylan.
Well, so wait, so you said, okay, so social media doesn't count. What part of the Browns are pushing this, though?
No, the PR team. That's why Frank Schwab and Charles Robinson.
Oh, you think they're the ones talking to Schwab and Robinson and saying, hey, this is the new directive. I'm not disagreeing.
Them or Stefanski.
Okay.
Like, I think Stefanski is real nice with the media and the national media, and I don't think people realize that.
No, that's fair. I think he definitely talks to a lot of, between him and Barry, they both talk to a lot of people. Barry just likes playing games with people is all it is, which is really funny to me.
Well, so that's, by the way, important distinction to make on your part. I just think, like, and I'm not saying this in a nefarious way either. Again, none of these are like accusations about the Browns. They're observations about the Browns. I do think that Kevin is so much better with the national media than anyone really realizes and gets credit for. And I do think I've just resigned myself to that's why so many people are like, you have to be dumb to think he's going to get fired at the end of the season.
Right.
Those same people that in 3 months, if the Browns are a one-win team, going at some point in November, they'll be turning on Kevin Stefanski because they have no other choice to. Now, that being said, that's the only reason I can think about this. Like, why would Charles Robinson this week be thinking about Dylan Gabriel, the backup, a third-round pick? Why would Frank Schwab, Orlovsky had something on Dylan Gabriel, although I think it was on social media.
Yeah, Orlovsky did. He had the whole thing where he talked about Dylan Gabriel. He basically made it seem like Dylan Gabriel was ready for the NFL tomorrow.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't think they got there on their own, and the only reason I can think of, again, it's not about Joe, it's about, hey, if we get to the point where we have to pull the trigger on Dylan Gabriel, we want to make sure there isn't, why isn't there a Shador conversation there?
Yeah, because nobody's asking for Dylan Gabriel conversations. Now, yeah. Now maybe they think to themselves, we ran the Shador convo into the ground. Maybe this is tangentially Shador, so like that's their angle on it. Or maybe they're trying to give like a voice for the voiceless. Like, we spend so much time on Shador, I'll show you I'm fair and balanced in a way, and I'm gonna spend some time on Dylan Gabriel. But it really does make no sense to spend that much time on Dylan Gabriel.
216-474-0092. Why is Dylan Gabriel the bigger story than Joe Flacco nationally? And in fairness, like, this is something that we talked about in the pre-show. We are going to have to talk more Joe Flacco going forward.
Well, and the problem with the Joe Flacco convo, Nick, is that there's nothing salacious you can talk about when it comes to Joe Flacco in the slightest bit. And he definitely has earned the benefit of the doubt through an 18-year career. And so I just feel like there's just not a lot of meat on that bone for people to grab onto.
But see, I think when it comes to an excitement factor, I think you should be more excited about Joe than you are
for
Dylan.
For sure. But if the conversation coming off the third preseason game, it should be more about Joe and it is more about Dylan. But I understand how they got there. And I think how they got there was, what new ground are we possibly breaking when it comes to Joe?
Well, but they haven't broken any ground on Joe. I think that's like when we're talking about like specific to this team this year, there has been no analysis of Joe Flacco, which leads me to believe people think that the change out on Joe to Dylan is going to be really quick. And if that's the Browns, I don't think it's the Browns' mentality. Because I think Kevin Stefanski's mentality is, I'm going to show all you bastards who think we're going to hit the under or who think we're just going to barely hit the over at six wins, I'm going to show you guys because I know that I can only trust this situation so far. But I think that's what Kevin's saying. But do I think that there are people who think, like, Dylan could see the field in week three? Yeah, I think that's a little bit behind this as
I think the analysis is short on Joe Flacco, because if you're talking about Joe Flacco, then you are talking about a team that is projected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And let's be honest about it, the national media doesn't talk about teams that are going to be one of the worst in the NFL.
But how do we, because what you're talking about is the hype train?
Yeah, essentially.
The hope train.
Well, no, it's really just giving national attention to any... to anything. And when it comes to Joe Flacco, when you start talking about Joe Flacco, then you are talking about the Browns for this upcoming season. And if you're team 20 or below, you're just not getting a lot of run nationally.
But I do want to speak to the idea that people think the Browns are going into this with a very short leash on Joe Flacco. I'm not saying it's that they're incorrect, because we don't know. Like, the Browns are not incredibly forthcoming. We don't know, really. I know that, I've deemed this as that we're going to see this play out kind of season. But the reason why it matters is, if you're going into this season saying we're going to give Joe a chance, but really it's like a 2 to 3 week chance, you've already failed. And failed in a way that is desperately close to losing the locker room. You have to go in this with the idea that Joe will be your quarterback all 18 weeks, even if you know it's very likely it's not going to have. If the Browns are doing what we've already done, which is week 4, week 6, week 8, week 9.
And we put a date on it.
The season's not getting out of the break. Like, it's not coming out of the block. It's going to die right there before the first gun of the season goes off.
Yeah, well, and that's
why... I even
did
a trigger finger
there. You did. It was very...
That's for YouTube.
It was... thumbs up. But that's why I think so many people have had the conversation about Joe the way that we have. And you got to think to yourself, like, for me, I said, Dylan will be in when the playoffs are out of reach. Like, that, I think, is an honest way to approach it, and that's a way that I think the Browns would approach it as well. And if the playoffs never get out of reach, then guess what? Dylan never sees the field.
So I think that's the way, in a logical situation, the Browns will, assuming all levels of the Browns, from Haslam to Andrew Berry to anybody in that front office to Kevin Stefanski to Paul D. Podesta, Mr. San Diego himself, assuming they all are on the same page and want the same thing, and assuming they all agreed on the same thing. I think we assume that they've all agreed on the intention on this. I think assuming that they're going to be completely aligned with their goals for the season is wildly ambitious, considering they're coming off 3-14. And
Sure.
Jimmy's going to want to see the rookie quarterbacks quicker than Kevin is. I think Andrew's going to want to see the rookie quarterbacks quicker than
Jimmy's
Joe.
Been part of the hope I had for Shador being able to see the field. Like, Jimmy's going to want to see that. And if you want to see Shador, that's got to be part of the hope as well. Like, I don't know that people are thinking that this whole entire organization, top to bottom, is 100% aligned with what they think out of Joe Flacco, though.
But I do think that's different than previous years. And I don't think we've discussed this is the royal we now discussed it enough. I do think they've come in previous years in as close to unity and alignment as you can get in the NFL. I think this might be the year where you're not. And I do think even if it's 5% difference in terms of your alignment, well, that can get really cattywampus really quickly as losing starts to pile up if that's the way this goes.
I mean, ultimately, and this is the first time in a while I've been able to say it this way, but ultimately it does feel like Jimmy Haslam's going to have the biggest say. He always does as the owner, but it felt like he was distracted a couple years ago. It felt like he was off and away. It feels like he's very involved right now, and it feels like Jimmy's going to be the one that gets the final, hey, this is when I want to see this happen. I don't think it was an accident that he put out there that he wanted to see both rookies, and he's made it very clear to Stefanski and Barry that he wants to see both rookies play this year.
In fairness, with Jimmy, it could just be an accident that he said that. He does say a lot of things. Jimmy's a bit of a wild card. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Why is Dylan Gabriel the bigger story right now nationally than Joe Flacco? It just feels a little weird to be talking about a third-round rookie when they've named a starter who I think is going to start for at least six games this year. Quick hits coming up. At 2:40, we've got Ashley Bastock of Cleveland.com. At 3, Kevin Stefanski's presser, allegedly. At 4 o'clock today, Danny Cannell, college football analyst in CBS Sports. At 4:20, he's more optimistic on the Cleveland Browns than most. Plenty to get to day baseball for the Gardos, but why is Dylan Gabriel the bigger story than Joe Flacco necessary? And it's ball control versus big plays for the Browns with Joe Flacco. What is going to win out? What do they want? What are they going to let win out? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Just hit me. We have another Sanders on the team. And so then DeAndre Carter is not on the team, right? And so maybe, just maybe, we could have a Sanders 2 jersey coming into play. It's my it's my Raheem Sanders. No,
Carter's
jersey.
Is still on the team.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did make the team.
Yeah. They really, I think it was Jordan Schultz.
Why is that I got so confused on this? This happened yesterday too.
Jordan Schultz tweeted it out. In fairness, I was, until I saw the 53-man roster, I thought it was off too. It's all Jordan, Jordan Schultz, very good reporter. You've confused us, Jordan.
You can't miss on these things, yeah. Jordan. This is until we see him out there returning kicks, I'll still be surprised he's on the team.
But the Browns have waived Brendan Bates, tight end, and cornerback Dom Jones. They've also announced their practice squad. Sal Canella, Caden Davis, Christopher Edmonds, Ralph Holley, Lamarian James, Sam Kamara, Amani Marshall, Julian Aquara, and Travion Williams. So all those guys in the practice squad, as of right now, have spent time with the Browns during the preseason. So that's the latest actual news on there. I do think there is, and I hinted to this yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think it's been interesting in listening, and, you know, the Browns have preached what this season is going to be about for them offensively. And I believe them, by the way. You know, I'm the first person to be like, I'm not entirely sure about that. That seems like something you would lie about. I think the Browns' intention is run heavy, build off the play action, and throw when you have to, and bank on an elite defense. And so the big it term, if you've been listening to sports talk radio this month, has been ball control.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. By the way, just in fairness, a lot of teams going to try ball control this year. So yeah. The Browns, and they also want to play good defense. So there's not a lot that's unique about the Browns, other than their margin for error isn't what it is with other teams. And to me, that's why it always made more sense to start Joe Flacco than Dylan Gabriel, no matter who they like more or invested in more, is Joe gives you more upside when it comes to big plays. I have a feeling, and we'll see week one, because that's going to be a great test against a bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that if you're trying to establish an identity right off the rip, and that identity is run heavy, you might end up neutering Joe Flacco in a way that precipitates a quicker demise of Joe Flacco, because Joe Flacco's value to you as a team subsides off the balance of good big plays and bad big plays.
Right.
But if you're just diminishing the play opportunities, the opportunities to throw the ball, well, while you might be diminishing the downside, you might also be diminishing and sterilizing the upside of this. And I kind of think that's not the way you should go.
So, I mean, the Browns, obviously, they led the league last year in interceptions. And so that's why when they say turn the ball over and they want to make sure that they have ball control, like it does have some sense of being valid based off of that they were so awful with it last year. But I thought a lot of this talking and them trying to basically replicate what the Steelers do, I think that was based off the function of Kenny Pickett starting and then Dylan Gabriel being the backup. Mm-hmm. And now that Kenny Pickett's not the starting quarterback, because if Pickett was, then that's what you do. Also, I think a lot of this had Judkins being in line to be the starting running back as well, which is another part of this equation that just isn't true. No Judkins and then Joe Flacco means you got to let Joe Flacco eat.
Yeah, or are we going to go with you got to let him eat or you got to let him cook?
Is Cook too close
to Russ?
I think of Marshawn Lynch then with like the bowl of cereal and he's just eating, or really the Zeke Elliott.
I was going to say Zeke Elliott.
And he's just eating and he's just getting after it. And you're like, is that Fruit Loops? Is it gold? What are you eating? I have no idea. But that's what I'm doing with Joe Flacco.
I feel like the only chance you have to supersede expectations, because there's meeting expectations or slightly surpassing them, which is 6 wins, right? And we'll get into that in that whole bag of potato chips that I just think is just.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Soggy at best. But like, I think you gotta let Joe Flacco be Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. And I think you do have to let him cook. Now, obviously, when Joe averaged 41 passing attempts at the end of the season in 2023, when that happened matters, right? Like, you're more liable to lock into an ideology. We got to set this identity for ourselves early in a season.
Yeah, like at the end of the season a couple of years ago, it wasn't like you were trying to build something with Joe. You really were just like, all right, Joe, if you find something, great. And they did. They found something, which was awesome. But it was like a 5% chance of it happening. And then you just kind of roll with it. And they did. They rode the hot hand.
I think if you err on the side of ball control, even though that, and here's why I think they might do this. Because that's how you set up to turn the keys over to Dylan Gabriel. Like, if you have the no risky, no bisky offense, if Joe Flacco is throwing the ball 41 times a game, 41 pass attempts per game, and no matter if they win or lose, and then you try and turn the keys over to Dylan Gabriel, there's not going to be structure for him to step into. I mean, meaning the transition.
It's going to be different is all.
Well, but the transition's going to be difficult. Whereas if you limit Joe's throws to 30 to 33.
Yeah, but I can't limit Joe to try to set up Dylan.
I think it makes sense that you would do that.
I'm
playing devil's advocate on this one because I'm right where you are. But if the ideal goal is by week 6 or week 8 or week 9, week 9's the bye, but week 10, it's Dylan's team, then as much as you want to, you're going to be constantly pulled in one direction. Either we're trying to win, Joe throws more, that's good. Or ball control, setting up the run, establishing a dominant run game, no matter who your running back is, that's predicated on a great offensive line. And that favors the transition from Joe to Dylan. And
I think they like Dylan, but I think that's a bad plan if that's the plan. Like you have to let Joe be Joe and give him a real chance. And you really can't have Dylan Gabriel in the back of your mind at all when thinking about Joe.
I would tend to agree with you, but I think there's been such a national, so many people have come around to the idea of Dylan playing early. This goes back to what's the plan and why having a plan or not having a plan or concepts of a plan matter, right? Because if your plan is to win as many games as possible, then you don't have any concepts of a plan for Dylan Gabriel. You're going to run with Joe until the legs come out from under you, right? At the same point, because everybody might not have alignment, or because Kevin might see what he's been longing for this entire damn time in Dylan Gabriel, right? Shut up. Do what I tell you to do. Don't turn the ball over. Those two things are at odds with each other. Building for the future, seeing what you've got in the future, seeing what you've got in Dylan Gabriel is absolutely at odds with what's best for winning, which is let Joe cook. And if you ask me right now, I know there's how I think you should attack it if you're trying not to lose that locker room, but there are so many variables in this I don't definitively know. Maybe I'm overvaluing the preseason game.
Maybe.
I really worry that they're going to try and tamp down what Joe does, and I'm sorry. There are just certain quarterbacks that no risky, no bisky is how you live with them.
So wait, I mean, even in the preseason game, I think that was a different scenario in many ways, but he was 9 for 10. He was really effective. Like, if that's the version that you get with Joe Flacco, that's not a bad version either.
One more time, sorry, buddy.
With you mentioned the preseason game. Are you talking about Gabriel or you're talking about Flacco in that instance? Because if we get that version of Flacco, again, he was 9 for 10. He had one incompletion. If that's the version that you get with Joe Flacco, it wasn't as no risky, no bisky, but that's because it really didn't set up for that in any way. Though he did have a nice strike to Fannin, obviously. But like, if that's the version of Flacco, that's not a bad version either.
Yeah, but that's for what? One quarter for 30 plays?
I mean, I don't think it's sustainable.
I think if you extrapolate that across four quarters, I think that gets easy to plan for very quickly.
No, I do too. I think you're limiting what makes Joe Flacco special, but you mentioned one preseason game was throwing you off. That's why I asked, was it Flacco that threw you off or was it Gabriel that threw you off?
Yes, because I think what you saw with Dylan across the 2 weeks, I think that is how, I think Kevin would love if Dylan Gabriel was his Brock Purdy. And we can have debate. You know how I feel about Brock Purdy. I actually think Dylan's got a better arm than Brock Purdy, although not the biggest.
Well, it's definitely stronger. I mean, that's not even a debate.
Biggest vote of confidence ever. But I think ideally, if Kevin across 18 weeks could say this is what the Browns offense is, I think it looks a lot more like what you did with Dylan Gabriel in preseason. Even though, by the way, again, I think some of it's just it's vanilla and it's the offseason. Even though you did some of that vanilla with Joe, And I think what's the easiest way to get to Dylan Gabriel? Vanilla it up with Joe Flacco.
I mean, I think if you go to Joe until you are out of the playoffs or not even having a chance to sniff the playoffs, if that puts Dylan Gabriel in an uncomfortable position because the offense isn't set up for him and then he struggles because of that, then okay, fine. Then you lose a lot of games and then you're even in a better position to then take the quarterback you want in 2026.
I tend to think.
Like, I just don't look at Dylan Gabriel as some sort of long-term answer anyway, no matter what happens.
I think they do. I really do think they do.
I mean, I still think that they think of him as a backup.
I think you and I think they're backups. I think Daryl thinks he's a backup.
If right now they thought to themselves, we're not in on the 2026 quarterback class because Dylan Gabriel is going to be our starter in 2026, I'd be very surprised.
This is where the they of it gets very confusing very quickly. I think Kevin Stefanski believes in Dylan Gabriel. I think he thinks we had Coach Risland on, Coach Risland yesterday. I keep throwing that. He's the Rizzler. Everybody knows him as the Rizzler.
Coach Riz.
He's the most famous Rizzler on social media.
At this point,
everybody
he might be.
Knows.
Those kids have gone boom all the way down, though. I don't know where they are.
So have they gone bust?
Basically.
That's tougher to say. That's not as catchy. Strike that from the record.
Where did they go? They were everywhere for like a year.
Now I believe they went to Costco.
They're gone. Are they just live at Costco now?
Or did they switch Alliance? Are they Sam's Club kids now?
No, they found one of those Coleman tents and just they stay in there now 24/7.
Now.
They went out to eat beef jerky.
I don't know that Andrew Berry sees a starting quarterback. I don't know Jimmy Haslam sees a starting quarterback. I think Kevin Stefanski looks at Dylan Gabriel as the guy to do what that's. If Baker Mayfield had done this, Baker would still be here.
I mean, if that was the case, if what you're saying is actually true, then it's a bad job by Stefanski not to get him to start week one. But I don't think he actually sees it that way. I think he looks at Dylan Gabriel as a backup quarterback. And if you can win 50% of your games as a backup when they do have the 2026 starter in there, then that's gravy to him.
I think they've already told you how they feel about Dylan. With how much they let him, and this is going to sound wrong, but how much they let him fail in the preseason. That to me is trust. If they know, hey, you've got this, you just need to figure out the production side of this, but your process, and that's how they feel about him. His process is exactly what they want. The production just wasn't. Shador's process is the issue, right? Literally processing the damn play call. But like, this is why those two quarterbacks are fighting different wars or different battles in the same war, I guess, is maybe the better way to put it. I think the mount that they gave Dylan Gabriel showed you that they didn't just treat him like a backup. That they were getting that kid ready to play. You don't do that for backups. Even rookies. Especially, by the way, you don't do it for third-rounders in general. You sure as hell don't do it for third-round backups.
I mean, it's not like they gave him like a million reps with the ones and everything. He had some reps with the ones, but it wasn't an overwhelming amount.
He had the second most amount of reps.
Yes,
and by the way,
as would the backup quarterback on a team.
I think you're confusing what will piss you off this year with what actually is going to happen. This goes back to the let's prepare ourselves for Dylan Gabriel to play. I think
we just don't see how they feel about Dylan the same way. I think you think that they think that Dylan's some sort of superstar in the making. I don't think that at all.
No, I think he's a system quarterback in the making.
If you're going to pass on 2026 and taking a quarterback there, you have to think higher than just a system quarterback in the making.
No, because system quarterback is not the derogatory term to Kevin Stefanski.
It was when it was trying to be Baker Mayfield as your system quarterback.
That's because it was Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield didn't bow at the altar of Kevin Stefanski.
I mean, they told us routinely in that whole entire Baker Mayfield experience that they didn't want a quarterback to be what's in that Brock Purdy range of 10 to 15th best in the NFL.
And I think the positional, the perception of the position around the NFL has changed. I also think they're at a different point. With Baker, it was, he's going to be a franchise quarterback because we're going to have to pay him $50 million a year. With this, it's, we just need somebody to stabilize the position and get out of the way of everything else so we can just win. I think you can win in short burst with a system quarterback. And I really do think, maybe it's Kirk Cousins. Maybe things can be the Kirk Cousins of this. I think Kevin Stefanski is a firm believer in Dylan Gabriel, and that's why I don't think any of this is a coincidence. And I don't...
I just think he believes in him more than he believed in Shador right now. And I think he believes in him as a, I mean, really, ultimately, I think part of the difference, and Coach Riz did lay it out for us last night, I think he's 100% right. Right now, Dylan Gabriel can run an offense and he can be the game manager and he can be the system quarterback in that way. Whereas Shador's got more pop to himself. He's going to have a higher ceiling, and is going to be maybe 2 or 3 years down the line just an overall better player. But Stefanski needs something right now that isn't going to turn the ball over, that is going to be able to run his offense, and is going to be able to be competent.
Given that Stefanski liked Kenny Pickett more than Joe Flacco, I'm going to go out on a limb that might be able to support my girth and say that, yeah, I bet you he likes Dylan Gabriel more than
the difference is whether or not he likes him to the degree of saying the 2026 quarterback isn't what we're doing.
I don't think that's where we disagree. But I don't think Kevin's thinking about that.
He needs to be.
Andrew Berry is. No. He doesn't. He's the head coach. He's thinking about today. He's thinking about winning. He's thinking about saving his ass. He's thinking about getting to next year, not next year's draft.
No, if he's thinking about Dylan Gabriel as a long-term starter, then he has to be thinking about next year's draft and accounting for all this into play.
That's not how head coaches think. It's how GMs think. It's how you and I think. It's how they organizationally should think.
His brain is around the Browns. Yeah, well, he's thinking about the 2026 quarterback draft.
No. But he should be thinking about the offseason. Once you get into the season, you're thinking about, all right, what tools do I have at my disposal to do what I want so we can win damn games.
I don't know. If he thought he was this great, I just don't see it. I think he thinks he's someone that's competent, that he can put in the system, and if he needs to win a few games because Joe Flacco and the wheels fall off, maybe he can get you a couple, but I don't think he's thinking big long-term plans with Dylan Gabriel.
And I think competent and I think good enough, I think right now, is basically a kink for Kevin, who's had nothing but dysfunction, drama, and bad quarterback play who, according to most people who conveniently know Joe, or who I think conveniently espouse maybe some words that maybe Kevin would say if he were being honest. I think Kevin looks at this and goes, I finally have a quarterback that just won't screw this up, and I'm sick of doing all the other managing that I have to do.
Go ahead. Sorry.
216-474-0092. Should the Browns let Joe Flacco cook early in the season? We both agree on that. Then the problem is, if you're talking about ball control, if you're talking about running the ball more than you're passing the ball, that means you might be setting up for Dylan Gabriel and you might be neutering Joe Flacco in the process. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
News and rumors around the sports world.
Go Angels! Go Angels!
To the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry!
It's quick hits.
All right, feel-good moment, JP. It's not just a feel-good moment, but it's from a Browns feel-good story. Undrafted free agent Aiden Huntington made Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger's film study of the Browns-Rams preseason game, which delighted the young man.
I've been watching Brian Baldy for years. I have videos saved in my Twitter, and actually one of my goals, you know, coming here was, you know, him to make a positive video about me. So when I had saw, I got tagged, I looked at the phone, I blinked, it was surreal. And like in that moment, I just thank God, because like I said, that was one of my goals. And you know, a lot of times people get those videos for not so positive things. So just for it to be a positive video and it's positive reinforcement.
The full video, by the way, I went full Daryl there. The full video is on Daryl Ryder's Twitter right now, at Ryder Wrong FAN. How can you not like this kid?
It was very fun. It's funny because, you know, during the season, we see Baldy just post these videos all the time. And I always look at them and they got like 3 likes and 5 likes. And I'm like, he's just throwing them out there for the universe. But people do like him.
Well, and what I like
all
about
the line guys love him.
I just like this kid. And I like that matters to him. You know what I mean? Like that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of legitimizes him before he makes the roster. And the truth is, he's probably the fifth defensive tackle out of 5 defensive tackles. So I don't know how much he's actually going to play, but man, I hope we get to see a lot of him. Because
he'll be a specialist. Third and long situations, he's going to be in there. That's what he does best.
I think between him, Mason Graham, and Michael Hall Jr., I think that's a lot of fun, fast youth up the middle.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I just love the idea that he could potentially do something with both sides.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like that's the novelty that is Otani, that is Travis Hunter, and then we have our own little version of that, even if it's on a very minute basis.
I would still be surprised if they put him out there at fullback in the red.
But it'd be fun.
But you know what? Give me it.
I mean, why
give me
not?
Give me the 3 tight end. Give me the H-back. Give me it all.
The fullback position is basically dead in the NFL these days anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's make Huntington, any defensive tackle that kind of fits the mold and can do it, let's make them the new fullback on specialty plays and just make it a deal.
Make fullbacks great again.
Omaha! All right, the Vikings are finalizing a trade for 2-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Adam Thielen, bringing home the Minnesota native in a deal with the Panthers.
Feeling good.
You got to be feeling good. Him and Justin Jefferson were teammates for a couple years, obviously a few years ago. They're back together again. I mean, it's such an interesting thing because the Panthers, Thielen was one of their best wide receivers last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Panthers were just kind of like, all right, he wants to go. So now we have to send him, uprooting all of our plans.
Yeah. So I think they've got a lot of, I was talking to a couple friends in Charlotte. They really like, they're kind of like the Browns. They've got a lot of unproven.
Yeah. You got to like McMillan, for instance.
They really like the other young kids that they have there. And I think there's a chance Adam wasn't really going to make the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's a drop off.
I mean, it's a risk, but Dan Morgan, I think, understands that that's kind of how it's going to go. So I kind of like it for both sides. I love it because
why was the trade compensation as high as it was if he wasn't even going to make the team?
It's 2 pick swaps. I also think it's desperation by Minnesota. I think that Thielen knows the system. Thielen's from there. I think if they were going to add a veteran, it was going to be Thielen. I mean, you're turning a seventh into a fourth and then a fifth into a fourth the year after.
I mean, I saw Albert earlier basically being like, this was an outrageous price for Adam Thielen.
Yes, if we consider his value and what he is at this point in his career, but I don't think they're just paying. I think they're paying for a brand, which, again, not always smart, but I think he'll be fine on that offense.
I want to see what he can do in Minnesota. I think this will be really interesting to see, and I hope this is more than him just, I want to go home to Minnesota, and Kevin O'Connell, they're all just going to make it work, and everyone be happy about it.
It'll be really funny if he goes up to Minnesota and does really well, and Panthers fans have struggles around Bryce Young, because you will have a meltdown from Panthers fans coming. Parker Messick earned his first career win in his second career start, going 7 strong innings, striking out 6, and letting just 4 base runners on in the Guardians' 3-1 win last night. Here's Messick on being the spark plug.
It can come from anybody at any given time, and you know, sometimes it comes from the young guys, sometimes it comes from the vets, and sometimes it comes from everyone in between. And sometimes you just got to be the guy at the right moment. And you know, it could have came from anybody, but I'm super grateful that I was able to do what I did tonight.
Where do we set the expectations for Messick? Because two starts in, he looks like Tom Damseaver.
Yeah, so we can't get too high, obviously. But this is why I'm always encouraging to bring up as many of these type of players as you possibly can. Like, let's find out what you have. And if someone like Parker Messick can just consistently deliver, I think it's great. A couple of things I like about him. One, he's a first pitch strike guy. Out of the 50 batters he's faced so far, 39 have been first pitch strikes. So he attacks the zone and attacks it early. I love that. I also like the idea that he looks like he plays 1925 baseball, where he puts every bit of his body into every single pitch that he has.
He looks like his name should be Snakes Callahan.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Like, you see everything is spent into every single pitch. And I also love that he's a quick pitcher, too. He reminds me of John Lieber in many ways. He's just, the moment he catches the ball, he's back on the mound, and then he's already throwing, and everything is quick, everything is fast. It's a lot to like about
him. I just like everything about him is attacking. The way he pitches, he attacks the zone, he's not afraid of it. You mentioned how quick he gets the ball back. To me, my favorite pitchers to watch, Kluber was like this, although Kluber was, just ungodly slow. I love pitchers who just go out there looking for a fight. Not a literal fight, but they take it personally when somebody gets a hit on them. Mm-hmm. It's why I can never do a full heel turn on Tanner Bibee, because I'm like, the heart of this is a dude that just really wants to win, and I love that. Although I didn't love Trevor Bauer. But my point is, like, I really do love he. You know what Parker Messick's got? I'm going to say it right now. He's got that dog in him.
I thought you were going to say gumption.
What? Do I look like I'm a gumption guy?
I don't know why. I just really thought you were going to go with gumption there. You're like, Parker Messick's got that gumption.
Hit the damn sound. I'm offended.
You're offended with gumption?
Yeah. I'm not a 60-year-old farmer.
It's got some gumption.
All right. I realize I might have acreage. I might live in a rural community, but I'm not.
Had you sitting in one of those rocking chairs at the front of the Cracker Barrel, just talking about the gumption that Parker Messick has.
I'm like Fred Gwynn in Pet Sematary. That road. That's just all. Half the thing as I talk about is which way you're going on that road.
Pat McAfee has called out Ryan Day for only appearing on his show when he was absent. McAfee not on his show yesterday. And so then he did, Herb Street was in and Ryan Day showed up and McAfee was all angry about it. Is this a battle to find out which pregame show people will want to watch? Is that all this is at this point? I feel like everything is done, whether this is the Portnoy stuff, whether this is this little mini feud that he's just created out of thin air with Ryan Day. It feels like it's a battle to see which pregame show everyone is going to be watching on Saturday.
Yeah, I actually think it's like a pushback on the Portnoy feud, and it just doesn't have the juice. It really doesn't. Like the Pat McAfee, Ryan Day thing. Like, I watched it. I'm like, I don't really believe this. I feel like he's like trying to be playful, but not playful. It felt like a wrestling angle more than it did like a real angle,
which would fit with McAfee.
So I had that thought too. And I was like, well, if this is like, we're going to one up you, I think the Portnoy and Michigan thing is a lot more real.
I don't even know that I'm going to watch either pregame show, if I'm being honest. I have no interest in Lee Corso's final send off. We should do a study on how badly his family failed Lee Corso over the previous like 3 or 4 years. If my family ever lets me be Lee Corso in any sort of way that way. No, somebody need to step in and say, Dad, you can't be out there.
That's awful. Everything you just said is awful.
100% truth. Lee Corso should not have been out there for 3, 4, 5 years.
Neither should someone in his family
should have stepped in and been like,
should they put him in a home?
Dad, you don't have it right now.
Should they put him in a home?
You're not making coherent sentences anymore. You haven't since 2012.
I hate this take from you.
You haven't in 15 years.
I'm not going to deny. We're going to take you away from the television, Dad.
I'm
not going to deny that Lee has not been who he was before his health issues. Close.
He can't even form sentences. It's sad.
By the way, Dickie V is not Dickie V from 10 years ago. It's not sad.
It's very sad.
And by the way, the way Kirk Herbstreit has protected him has endeared me to Kirk Herbstreit, who I've never felt endeared to.
No interest in the I care what mascot he puts. I don't care about the mascot head.
So you just don't get the bit.
You're a big Lee Corso guy. Oh, don't get the bit. It's just putting a mascot on your head. You're hardly breaking ground. It's the cheapest pop in the business, and it's the best bit.
If we could come up with a bit that was that successful, we'd be millionaires in this town. If in the next 30 years we work together. No, you're oversimplifying it.
That's all that is it's to the, it. It's not great, oversimplifying. Yeah, no, that's all that's to it.
No, because you don't understand the majesty behind
you're
the
You're making
bit.
It into some sort of like science behind this and some sort of magicness to
no,
this.
No, no, no. You do not like...
I mean, Corso shouldn't have been talking on television for a decade.
That's just hateful.
His parents, somebody needed to step in. Somebody in his family needed to step in and be like, listen.
He's a grown-ass man.
You can't be doing this anymore.
No, 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 no.
We're going to take you right to the buffet.
This is not to send people to the home.
We'll get you the Werther's.
The man,
we'll get you a nice setup with a TV.
By the way, he can be on TV and have the Werther's.
Let's put you out to pasture.
All right? You don't have to give him the Werther's to put him out to pasture. Thank you very much.
Can't form sentences anymore.
No, no, he still can. Yeah.
No, he can't.
No, he can form them. It's just getting him out is a little more difficult. He has earned the right to call his shot. I'm very excited for that.
I can tell which pregame show you'll be watching.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now
I'm principal. I'm watching the other one.
Now I'm going to actually live stream on my TikTok, me watching it, just talking crap about you and randomly playing clips from this
segment. Maybe it was a debate before which one I was going to watch. Now it's with certainty I'm watching the Big Noon Kickoff.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You go to sleep with that.
Let's get it, Urban.
Yeah. Hey, that Let's one lacks all personality. Go with the Fox one.
Well, it's got Dave Portnoy now.
Well, yeah. He's not going to be in the studio. He's not going to be in the stadium. Almost got it. AshleyBastock.cleveland.com joins us in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.